Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we are in the Documented Persecution module, and we are in Part 2. And so I tell you, going back over where we just came from, laying the first foundation in persecution, I am believing that there is going to be an impartation of strength into your spirit to live an overcoming life in the days, in the perilous days that we are in right now. And so let's pick up with number 8, the great persecution continues. Acts 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest. Note, in this passage, we have insight into the spread of Christianity. Christians went everywhere, even to foreign cities. Saul was so full of hatred that he went and requested letters of authority to arrest believers in Syria. It's also important to note that Saul's hatred fanned the flames of revival that scattered these evangelists everywhere. In one sense, Saul was responsible for bringing revival to Samaria through the preaching of Philip. Also, there is one truth that the religious leaders did not understand about Christianity, and that was love. These believers knew that Jesus loved them. These believers loved Jesus. And finally, these believers loved not their lives unto the death. A person who is not afraid to use his life as a weapon against his foe is greatly feared on the battlefields of life. These Christians laid down their lives, thus ensuring that the message of Christ was preached to the ends of the earth. And I think it's important to note that the sacrifice that these men made is why you and I have the gospel today. And in fact, throughout history, there has been some very dark periods where you almost thought the light of the church was going to go out, but it didn't, because God had people in strategic places who had made decisions, I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm giving my life for him. And many years ago, I was in a certain nation. There was a war going on in the nation, and the nation had, in a sense, kind of come into a freedom, a democratic kind of a system. And I was sitting talking to a major in the army, and he quoted to me, because he hated the war, he saw too much death, and he said, "Is freedom worth it?" And I said, "Well, the truth is, you can't have freedom until you're willing to die for it." And that is the truth about Christianity. True freedom, the freedom of Christ, only can be manifest in our lives when we're willing to lay down our lives, to give our lives for Christ. A church that's not willing to do that is apostate, or a weak church, a dead church. And so these are very important things that you and I owe a debt of gratitude to these people. They were laying the foundation of that stubborn will, "I'm serving the Lord." And we're getting it right here in the book of Acts. So important. Don't ever read over these so lightly. I mean, when you read Acts chapter 9 and you see what these people were going through, just pause and say, "Wow, that is amazing. These are my relatives. This is my family in Jesus. And I'm going to be like them." Let's go on to number 9. Jews in Damascus conspire to kill Paul, Acts 9:23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill Paul. Note, Saul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had grown up at the feet of Gamaliel in Jerusalem, which gave him status and prestige amongst his peers. He had always known favor within the Jewish religious circles, probably in part because his own father had been a Pharisee. Now, these Jews in Damascus were plotting for his death. For the first time in Saul's life, or Paul, Paul feels what true hatred is, coupled with the fear of being murdered by those who once were deemed his colleagues and friends. Under this pressure, Paul most likely thought he needed to return to Jerusalem in hope of working out these misunderstandings. I mean, put yourself in his shoes. The hunter is now becoming the hunted, and he's never had those feelings of such fear and just a feeling of, I'm going to kill you. Of course, that's coming from the devil, but he's using these religious leaders. And remember, Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And Paul was full of Jesus. Let's go to number 10. Jews in Jerusalem conspire to kill Paul. So now we're moving from Syria or Damascus, and now we're moving back to Jerusalem. And let's look at it. Acts 9, verse 29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. They were Jews who were Greek in culture. And they went about to kill Paul. Note, upon arriving at the temple, Paul finds that Jerusalem is no longer a friendly place for him. Once again, he is forced to flee for his life. The hunter is now the hunted. Amazing. It's amazing that this man went from such love and favor of the religious hierarchy to number one on the kill list. Number 11, King Herod kills James. Acts 12, verses 1 and 2. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Note, in this account, we see the first persecution by government. Now think about that. Just pause. Everything at this point has been the religious leaders coming out of Jerusalem. All of a sudden, this has changed. It's now government. Up until this time, the aggression had only been from religious leaders, as we said, but now a new chapter had opened in church history. Jesus had warned his followers to beware of the leaven of Herod and of the Pharisees. Both leavens are ultimately against the righteousness of God, and in this passage, we see that the ultimate manifestation of these leavens is persecution against Christ and his church. Psalms 2, 1 through 4. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And that's what's happening right now. These leaders, whether it's in the religious realm or now in the government, they are rising up against the throne of God. And the Bible says the Lord laughs at them. So that's a new way to take persecution. When people want to persecute you, just get a good revelation of Jesus laughing. Now let's go on. Number 12. Now we're going to go outside the land of Israel to the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 13, verse 8. It's the first persecution by witchcraft. But Elymas, the sorcerer, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Note, Satan is always seeking influence and control in the realm of government. Governmental authority was ordained by God to protect the righteous. Paul warns all men not to give place to the devil. All this means is not to provide a place for him to usurp and operate. In this passage, Satan, through the sorcerer Elymas, was seeking a place of influence in government. When witchcraft gains a foothold in governmental power, the devil can freely oppress the land. Paul's arrival with the gospel brought confrontation to Elymas' wicked plan. So here we see the first opposition coming from witchcraft. And of course, we deal with this in other parts of this study. When you're dealing with government, when you're dealing with people who are around the government leaders, and how Satan is seeking to usurp that authority. Of course, we're called to pray for those who are in these positions of power, because power and authority comes from God. That's why Satan seeks to usurp it. And so here we have a major battle in the realm of the spirit, and it involves governmental authority and the gospel. And the other thing that's important to note is Paul didn't back away here saying, well, we can't be political. He didn't say that. These men went forward with the gospel, and they prayed until judgment came down upon this man, of whom the devil was using his flesh to bring control into government in order to oppress the land. And so we're learning something here. We cannot back down from evil that is coming around people that are called to lead us in that government realm. Wow, powerful, powerful. We must be praying for those in government. That's just what the Bible declares. That's what Jesus requires. We need to do it. And to not do it, you are setting yourself up for persecution. Okay? So let me just say this. To not pray for those in government, to not pray for your nation, then persecution is coming. It's just a matter of time. Number 13, Jews contend verbally, speaking against, Acts 13, verse 45. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Note, envy was at the root of Joseph's persecution from his brothers. That's in the book of Genesis. Envy was at the root of why the religious leaders persecuted Jesus. And the Bible says that Pilate knew that it was for envy that Jesus was turned over to him. Now we see that envy is still an evil that hates everything that's good. These men didn't just hate Paul. They truly hated themselves, despising their own eternal salvation. And that's the reality of persecution. When people rise up to persecute the church or the gospel, they hate themselves. They should be trying to get saved and receiving the gospel in order to spend eternity with God, but they hate themselves, and they bring themselves to their own damnation. Number 14, first citywide persecution. Now, this is another first. Make a little note here, Acts 13, verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, and the chief men of the city, and they expelled them, or kicked them out, from their coasts. Note, once again, envy is at the root of this persecution. The Jewish religious zealots stirred up the city leaders, the mayor and the city council, to persecute the apostles by expelling them from their coasts. This is the first example of city government rising up against the gospel or against the church. Interesting. Number 15, first account of persecution from Gentiles, Acts 14, verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Note, here we see the battle for the minds of men. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, that Satan blinds the minds of those who believe not. The minds of the Gentiles in this passage had already chosen not to believe. thus allowing Satan to come in and to keep them blind. Spiritual blindness is best described by Pharaoh, who watched the Red Sea open with water standing up on both sides. And after the water parted, he then witnessed Moses and the Jewish nation walk through the sea on dry ground. And yet, Pharaoh still ordered his army to follow. That is the epitome of spiritual blindness. The Gentiles in this example were spiritually blinded through the hardness of their own hearts. They were without excuse. They chose to harden their hearts. They chose not to believe. And from that, they began to persecute. Once again, I'm going to say it strong, they were without excuse. Number 16, Jews and Gentiles assault Paul. Acts 14, verse 5. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. Oh my, the persecution found in verse 2 of this chapter moves from evil thinking now to attempted murder. So persecution, it progresses. And in this case, it progressed very quickly. Number 17, Jews stone Paul. Acts 14, 19. And there came there certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Note, what an emotional day Paul must have had. In fact, Lystra was probably a city he never forgot. It was in Lystra that Paul, while preaching, discerned faith in a crippled man's heart. The gifts of healings came into operation, and a man who had never walked began walking. What joy it must have been to watch this miracle of healing unfold. But now, the pagan leaders in the city set out to worship Paul and Barnabas. It took much convincing to prove that they weren't gods. This is where the devil gets into the details. Those men in that city had never repented. Their hearts were hard, and though they saw an undeniable miracle of healing, they did not desire Christ. It is in this darkness that they were convinced by zealot Jews to stone Paul. Miracles and manifestations of the Holy Spirit do not guarantee repentance. These miracles do guarantee either a hardening of the heart or a softening of the heart. There is no middle ground. And that's the key thing here. When the leaders of that city saw the undeniable miracle, they didn't repent. And then that's what put them in a position to go further into darkness. God had demonstrated his power. He had manifested a sign and a wonder to get their attention. They heard the gospel, and then they made a choice through the hardening of their heart to go further into darkness. Number 18, Gentiles in Philippi beat and imprison Paul. Acts 16, 19 through 24. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. They brought them into the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, after receiving such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. They were chained to the wall. That's what that means. Note, here we have another first pertaining to persecution against the church. In this passage, the devil uses those in economic power to launch an assault against the church and its moral stance on human slavery. These economic leaders held influence over the city leaders, which, according to their bidding, beat Paul and Silas and threw them into jail. Until now, we have seen persecution through religion and government. And in this passage, we are introduced to the darkness that's in the world's economic system and its ability to persecute. Truly, the love of money is a root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. Now, I think it's very important that you pause and think about this one. Because in the world that we live in today, there's a lot of human slavery. And that human slavery exists because there are people in government positions that tolerate and allow it and probably are involved in it. The gospel confronts this kind of darkness. And so that's what was happening here. And you see that these economic leaders had power and influence over those in government, and those in government used their authority that God gave them to do good. They used it to do evil. They were without an excuse. Oh, I mean, you talk about a scary place to be. All right, let's go to number 19, Acts 17, verse 5. Non-believing Jews moved with envy. But the Jews who believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar. They assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Note, once again, envy is at the root of the persecution. It's also interesting to note that the city became involved. Satan hated Paul, and he also hated the power of God that rested upon Paul. Paul was turning the world upside down, and no weaponized plan that he had formed against Paul had prospered. Isaiah 54, verse 17. Very important. Paul and the power of God was turning the world upside down. And Satan was trying every way possible to stop him, to no avail. And so as we come to a close, we're going to just pause right there. And we're going to pick up in the next session from there. But think about what you heard today, all the firsts. Always think about the first. The first persecution, the first this, the first that, the first government persecution, the first murder, the first witchcraft, the first economic leaders persecuting the church. Think about these things because they're happening in the world today. And so you're seeing all of that in the book of Acts. So let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we've heard today, the study on the School of Acts. We receive your word and we receive the strength of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.